Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
When Cain killed Abel, he said, "Where is your brother?" He knew, because your brother's blood cries from the dust. Where are you right now? You see, my point is that God knew you. You've never disappointed him because he's bigger than that. He loves you if you're his child. If you've been born again, you're his child. He may be waiting on you to thrive, and you may have a lot to overcome. This is why we can't be hard on each other, because the reality is some people have a storyline that's different than this other person has a storyline. Some people had a good home. Some people had a rough home. Some people had some major wounds before they came to Jesus. But the reality is, God takes all that into consideration. And when he looks at you, he smiles. Because he sees you in your glory. A glory that he has prepared for you and for me. And we'll get to that. But he knew you. He spoke your name immediately. Can you imagine? The ruminations, obviously, too much for us to take in. But putting it down into a way that we can get our mind around. He immediately knew you. He spoke your name. If you've ever woken up and your wife's name's on your lips. Or maybe you're like, oh. And you, God immediately saw you. Immediately. And he said, it's worth it. All the debris. All of the deception. All of the wars. All of the death. He says, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. In the Hebrew, it's dying, dying. That's all it's going to be. One man went to a church service, and this guy's up there, and he's reading all of these genealogies. It says, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and he lived so many years, and he died. And he read all this. And his friend who brought him, he was like, oh, man, this is terrible. This is on the genealogies. And what happened was, he died. This guy got under such conviction because he realized by the Holy Spirit in that meeting, he's going to die. That's a work of the Spirit of God. Isn't that a good thing? He knows you. And he knew if he would bring to bear the Holy Spirit's promptings in your life, that you would say yes, Lord. You would say yes to Jesus. When we talk about receiving, people say, well, we can't receive him. Rain on that. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Yes, we receive him. We are God's children because he knew that we would be winnable, if you will. That some of us, created with total free will, would say yes when he got to us. I'm telling you guys, this is too high for me. I can't go much higher, but I can tell you this. It tells me he elected me according to his foreknowledge. Not because he decided that he was going to pick a few and let other ones go. And I've heard that. I know one counselor who is very high in the Christian world. He could not look upon a person across the table from him and say to the client as a counselor, a Christian counselor, professional doctor in counseling. He couldn't tell him that Jesus died for him. He said, I can't tell you Jesus died for you because I don't know. That's how his theology informed him. Well, what's he doing talking to him at all then? The man's dead. He can't do good. There's nothing. I mean, if you're going to go for full depravity, you can't get him to change anyway. But it was in his book he was telling this. I didn't hear this secondhand. It's in his book. My point is that there's a nonsense about this. And you need to understand, if you're going to get through the day-to-day grind of what we're in right now, a world that may not go back to what we once knew, where the money might crash, where the government is constantly borrowing money and throwing money at things, and where is it going and who's got it? They're telling us now that state governments are flush with cash. They're trying to figure out places to put it because they got so much money being printed to get these trillions of dollars into the stimulus that really is really not a stimulus. So understand, God knows your name. He spoke your name. Before the foundation of the earth. Wow. And it says that he did it according to his foreknowledge because he knew who you were and what you would do. And he says, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. If you want to find the other passage on that, the Bible says in Romans 8:29-30, it says, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, listen to this, then he also glorified. Past tense, already done. That's good to know. You're already in. Okay? Ephesians tells us we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places right now, far above all principalities and powers. Good to know, right? Good to know. I mean, that's Bible right there. I don't care what people want to go argue about on the side. This says that we're already glorified. I'm taking Jesus at His word. I kind of learned from Abraham that's what you're supposed to do. Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Not because he was righteous, but because he believed God. Okay, he got righteousness imputed to him. And that's how it works. Romans chapter 4 punctuates that in the New Testament, that that's how it works. So we see him telling these people that are dejected that it's tough. I know it's tough. But think of it as an adventure, just like Moses, a stranger in a strange land. I'm not sure what's going on, but obviously God trained Moses. What's he training you? What's he training you now? And now he says you're elect, so you're loved. And it says you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, those are words that will run in on each other when you're reading it in your day-to-day reading. But if you slow down a little bit, it's pretty neat. What's the destination? Well, it's the word obedience. It says you've been elect according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. Now, the word obedience is very interesting because the word obedience, it's a compound word in the Greek. Hupo is under, like a hypodermic needle, and then it's akouo, hearing. You hear under. Now, you may not hear God under His breath speaking until you need to, right? You know those Old Testament passages, lean not on your own understanding in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path, right? It trust in the Lord and all that. But then you also have in the Psalms where it says, I will guide you with mine eye. You will hear a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I mean, He's our shepherd. He's right there. But we haven't heard Him because we've not needed to hear Him. But when you've been dealing with the difficult and dealing with the icky of life, suddenly you're listening a little more acutely to what He might want to say to you. And that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. That's where you want to be. Because He is the God who speaks. And what He will do primarily is speak through His Word. He will bring to your mind the Scriptures that you've placed into your heart. Now, this is a big rub because a lot of Christians today, they tell us only 6% of evangelicals have a Christian worldview. And that's because they don't know their Bibles. Time to get to know your Bible. I mean, if you think about it, you get some clients, ladies, you might get a little cooker, you know, and you got this thing and it's like all these dials and buttons and everything. Finally, you get ready. I'm going to pull that baby out. I'm going to do something. One of those electric pressure cookers or something. You're like, okay, I can do this. And you're thinking of mom's old pressure cooker. You know. But then they got buttons and timers and everything. Next thing you know, you're just calling your husband and say, honey, I don't know what to do with this. And then what does he do? He goes over because he's so smart. And he gets the directions out. We need to get the directions out. Bible as an acrostic. Basic instructions before leaving earth. You need to get out the instructions. Life is hard right now for the believer because we've had it easy for a while. So we're a little soft, you know, we're a little spiritually out of shape. We haven't been exercising. If you want to see that word in the Bible, you can see it in the book of Ecclesiastes. These things God has given man to be exercised with. We're supposed to be falling against the hard places. That's what wakes you up. Makes you get up a little early and do a few push-ups before you hit your day. He says, unto obedience. That word always reminds me of when David was outside the walls of Jerusalem and they were trying to take it for the first time. And some of his mighty men heard him say under his breath, kind of leaning. You can imagine him on a hot day in Jerusalem, in Israel. And he's like, oh, that I had a drink of water from the well of whatever. And he says this under his breath almost, but his three mighty men hear him. And they break through the line and they go get the water and they bring it back to him. And he's like, man, we're taking a city. You know what he does with the water? He takes it and he pours it out. He was so moved by the men. He says, I don't want to be drinking this. I'll give this to God. And he just had a moment. Listen, God is constantly breathing out little thoughts to you about what needs to be done in real time. under His breath, if you will, by His Spirit, the unction, the movements, you know, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Mark of a sheep, ears and feet. And I give unto them eternal life. Not if, no if there. I give unto them eternal life. And no man will pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You're pretty secure in there. I and my Father are one. You don't have to worry about all this nonsense. This is all drama around you and me. This world is not my home. I'm just a passenger. And we know that as strangers and pilgrims. But we're going for obedience. God is reaching for obedience to hear under God, to take what He has in His plan and put it into shoe leather. Now, how does that happen? It says through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, it's interesting because the Greek word is en, epsilon nu, but it's like the word that usually is translated in or by. Sanctification of the Spirit. But you have to realize that the translators were no slouches. This word is very flexible. Usually the word through means dia, like diameter, to go through. That's a Greek word, the dia, okay? So what I'm saying to you is that you don't have that word here. You have en. That's how you pronounce it. En, sanctification. Now, this is really interesting because the word sanctification is a mystery to many people. But the word sanctification means the holification. He's going to make you holy. Okay? Do you want to say it another way? It's the holification of the people of God. And it takes a time to do that. However, biblically, we are told that we are complete in Christ in the book of Colossians. You are complete in Him. Isn't that good to know? Complete. You're not halfway there. Okay? You're complete. You're complete in Him. But the reality is that you not only have a sanctification that is yours by position, you're in Christ, but you also have a progressive sanctification going on. And then there's another one, and that is the perfected sanctification when you get home. When you get home, you're going to be completed. It's going to be in your experience as well as in truth. So the reason that the translators use the word through sanctification is because that's where you're living in your shoe leather. Even though it's N, it's got the flexibility to be through because it's the Holy Spirit who cleans us up on the journey. And that's what he's talking about. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Now that may not mean much to you on the surface, but it meant a lot to me because the truth of the matter is that I am absolutely sanctified in Jesus right now. But I am living out tough times, just like all of us are, in this world we live in. And therefore, it gets on you a little bit. And I need to remember the Spirit's my guide. And the translators had enough forethought in the King James to say through here. They don't always hit the mark on all of their choices. But this is about the Spirit. And through that day-to-day experience that you're having, they were scattered. You and I are watching our world be shattered. And we're dealing with that. The prices of the meat, the prices of the chips, the prices of whatever you like. You're going to have to kind of rein some things in. You're going to have to tighten your belt. And the funny thing is, with Americans, we've got a pretty good belt. We can tighten pretty good because we got so much insulation by the time. You know, it's like somebody says, if you're really, really thin when you get to the end of life, that's kind of dangerous. It's the person who's got a little bit of meat on them because if you get hit one time, man, they got something to burn down before you get in trouble. And that's the way it is in America. We've been sick for a long time. And now we've got to lose some weight. And a lot of the weight is a prosperity weight. A lot of the weight is a byproduct of a blessing that God has put on our families and our homes and on our country. But we've not been paying attention. We've been basking in the sunshine, not realizing that the whole thing has been going downhill for a long time. And not willing to really do much about it until maybe we have to.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.